I asked Bob tonight what he felt. He'd been closer to the conference group than any of the rest, and I asked him what he felt would be the best thing to top this off with. And he said, well, Bob, why don't you give him a touch of the Big Dipper? Well, now, believe me, gang, watch out for words that get meaningless, mean something to you but not to others. We speak of the wheel. Don't call it the wheel. Refer to it as the Christ-centered, spirit-filled life. Use only the illustration when it's really valuable. Don't pawn it off on people and use it the wrong way. The reason we refer to the main basic principles that the NAVs teach and emphasize is just through a little incident that happened in one of my trips around the world. I was in Paris. I'd had a date with Stacy Woods. We met the night I met him in the streets of Paris. We didn't get together on the phone till midnight, and by the time we got together between midnight and 3, he and I had been accosted 13 times by a young woman. And I just found it wasn't healthy to be out on the streets of Paris at night alone. And I had an extra day to stay, and so I just gave the night to the Lord, and I decided to go up on the hotel, the George V Hotel. And I pulled one of the blankets off of my bed, a dark one, went up, dusted off a place up there, stretched it out, and it was a beautiful starry night. And I was lay down on the flat of my back, looking up into the stars and just talking to the Lord. Incidentally, that's one of the sweetest times I have, is to lay on a mountainside on a good, cool or warm night, not too cool or not too warm, and just lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by numbers. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his power. Well, I was looking at the stars and thinking, and all of a sudden it came to me the thought, and I was praying and I was meditating on some scripture and letting him speak to me through the word off of the tables here in my heart. And the thought came to me, and I prayed this. I said, Lord, is there something in the NAV work that we are omitting or failing to do that is displeasing to thee? I happened to be looking up there at we call it the Big Dipper. Now, I studied how this thing actually appears in the sky, and these four stars almost go in line. But here is the Big Dipper. And so I thought, well, let's see. I use association sometimes to remember things, and I thought, well, we teach. We try to get every person we work with, of course, naturally, with another group of believers into the church, but our individual help and training of them, we try to get them to live the Christ-centered, spirit-filled life. Well, I thought, that's the very heart, and I hung it, just that idea, the wheel, on that pivotal star. And then I thought, well, now, in the Word, you know, we have the main basic things of the Word, prayer, living the life, obedience, and witnessing. So I thought, well, the NAVs stress the Word an awful lot. Our particular stress is on the unstressed parts of knowing the Word. The five ways, first, are to hear it. You can learn it by hearing it. You can learn it by reading it. You can learn it by studying it. You can learn it by writing it on the tables of your heart. You can better learn it and understand what you hear or read or study or memorize by meditating. And as I think we've had a given on a suggestion to go along that line, haven't we, Bob, in the conference? Have we? All right, so I thought, well, the 5 points here. We often refer to it as the hand, hearing, reading, studying, and because the backbone of the Christ-centered spiritual life is found through the Word, well, we strongly emphasize that. Then I thought, well, now, what's another emphasis of the NAVs? Well, evangelism. Of course, it's in the very heartbeat. And in the Dipper, you know, that's the
part you scoop out and dig up and get rolling, and without evangelism you haven't anything. Without evangelism and new souls being born again and them reaching others would be like people being born sterile, wouldn't it? If they didn't reproduce. So I thought, well, evangelism in all of its phases, we hadn't begun to work with Billy yet and the big campaigns, but we were really hitting it hard on evangelism, whether personal or group or mass or any type of evangelism as suggested in the Word, or that the Lord will prosper, we're for it. Well, you reach out and you scoop up, and what do you want on that to make it a real dipper? You want a backside to hold it, you know? And the thing that holds your people, once you've won them, is follow-up. The Nads are strong in their emphasis of follow-up. Now, by follow-up, we didn't mean just send the name of the convert to a church. Because we long ago learned that oftentimes the man to whom we send that is already so loaded, he doesn't even have time to fill his present obligations. And he can't put it in the hands of some of his people because the few, the handful of his people that he can trust to do a job like that are already carrying the big load of the church. And so they just don't get followed up. And of course, that's why Billy invited the Nads to specialize with him and work on this, is because we had worked on it for many years before. Starting with the individual, the minute he was saved, the babe, just like a mother starts with a baby before the minute it's born. The doctor doesn't say, well, now that's a healthy baby. You see, you won't have to bother with that one for about a week. let's see, this is Sunday. You set up a day at a Sunday, next Sunday. Now be sure and come out next Sunday. Yeah, yes. Why can't we let a new soul that's just accepted the Lord go a whole week until he gets to the next service? Who can tell? Who's busy on him right away? The old devil, boy. And he isn't going to say, well, let's have fair play here. This poor babe isn't getting taken care of. Let's not tackle him until a week from Monday. Right? We believe in follow-up. And in our campaigns, there are actually five different ways we go at it. It has been accepted. Stanley High in the Reader's Digest wrote up the results of the campaign in Europe. You read the article. You know where he got his information? He went around and visited the converts. You know which converts he visited? The very ones. We can tell you their names. He went to see it, to see how they did. And he tells how the many things we did to take care of that new baby. Follow the Nads believing. Well, now you've got a dipper. I'm just looking up and studying. You know, my mind's just running along the sea. Christ-centered, spirit-filled life, yeah, we're strong on that. We're always trying to get people to a strong devotional life, always trying to get people into the Word, always fighting to get them to get the message out, always fighting to get them to take care of the one they win. Then I thought, well, now, what else do we teach? Hey, say it. Now that's a big, strong, two-fisted emphasis in the Nads. Bob, do you teach your fellows this there in L.A.? That they can't teach any other fellow any of these things. One of your fellows can't teach them these things unless those things are already in their lives. In other words, pace-setting is a poor word. Let's give another word or two. Give me some other words for it. Example. Your life, the embodiment of this teaching. To give you a scripture on it, let me give you two or three verses. The Lord himself said that. He didn't say, now listen to me, and I'll make you fishers of men, did he? What did he say, lady? What did he say?
I will make you fishers of men.
Well, what did he say before that? Not listen to me, but what? Follow. In other words, we learn by seeing, not by hearing. That's one problem of much of our present-day education. We sit at desks for 12 years. And many a kid can go out and by one mistake learn his whole life of something that he just didn't learn. Teaching is definitely not just telling, but it's also showing. Now, how many of you know a good, strong verse that proves that in the Bible? Let's see your hands. One, two. Well, what one are you thinking of, Dave? That's the one I'm thinking of. And boy, to me, that's the super-duper hyper verse of the Bible on the subject. Philippians 4:9. Stand up and give it to us, if you can. Now listen to this, because this is dynamite. Those things that you have learned
and heard and received
and seen in me.
Do
those things which you have both learned and heard and received and seen in me,
and the God of peace shall be with you.
There's the Christian life, King.
Is it enough to stand up and quote the Apostles' Creed and the Catechism and the... Which would you rather?
Would you rather have, for a teacher, a person who only knew a little of the Bible, but it was part of their life, and they left it, or a man who knew the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but wasn't living it? How many will take the fellow that knows less that's living it? And the whole world is that way.
Paul, the great teacher, the great evangelist, the great apostle, said to the Philippians, those things, now the verse before this, he says, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honest, whatsoever is of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think about these things. Keep your mind with honest thoughts and pure thoughts and things of honest report. And then the next verse, he tells you not only what to think, but what to do. Now, what things are you to do? Well, you do those things. Not that I've told you. We forget them. Someone says, the eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel may be confusing, but example is always clear. It starts out ahead of that. It starts out, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather you would walk with me than merely point the way. Good. Do you like that, sir? I love that. And yet, gang, it's too easy to go off to school, theology, and all the rest of it. Homiletics, and just tank up with a bunch of facts and then try to go transmit those facts by the voice or the pen. Jesus didn't do it. He was always saying, even his suffering, he says, as Christ suffered, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. What if the Lord Jesus had sent a book down out of heaven and said, now look, you people down there, you're supposed to suffer for me. You're going to be misunderstood. They're going to hurt you and think they're doing God a service. Now he came down and took it off. Suppose the Lord told you to go deal with an adulterous woman. I mean, how many of you girls right here, the Lord told you to go down to Colorado Springs And look around where you saw a woman on the street. You won't find them hardly here. They're hard to find in America, really. The place you find the most is in Japan. 100,000. 8,000 in Yokosuka alone. In Britain, my wife and I have walked 3 blocks. And during the 3 blocks have watched 8 different women stop a man. Just stop him. Start walking toward him. That's what they'll say. I've had them say it to me. Look, come in on Tuesday. You want to go home a little bit? In the city of London, tens of thousands. Revolting. Disgusting. You don't know what to think when you see a girl that was once a little tiny baby in a mother's arms, a sweet, precious little gal, selling her body to a different man night after night. Had a girl come up and grab me by the arm and says, look, so much for an hour or so much for all night. Would you talk to one of those girls? You're too good? Jesus wasn't. He must needs go through Samaria. And a woman said on the well. And he asked her for a drink. Now, gang, I find it much easier to talk to sinners because Jesus did. And he was even whole. And I'm not. It makes a difference. And that's what we mean by pacing. I'll tell you something else. Even if I stand up here and speak convincingly to you, lad, about things that aren't in my own life, even though you can't see that they're not, you say, well, I'm not around God to see whether there's things in your life. How? How do I know that you live them? Who can give me the answer to that? Yeah, but what if you don't get to talk to them? How can my message still get over to him? Somebody give me a hand on that. Not exactly. Suppose I don't give experiences, and suppose my experiences are isolated. And I tell you what I used to do instead of what I'm doing. By the way, a guide is not supposed to take the people out and say, well, you can walk that trail that I used to go. Too many of the people that I know live on past experiences instead of keeping fresh new experiences. Put down 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Ye are our witnesses, so also is what? The Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says this. Let me read it to you again. Paul says, our gospel came not unto you. This Christian can say, well, it didn't come to you just in word only. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but it came to you in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. It has a different kind of a ring. You sense it to a degree, but notice it says it came in the Holy Spirit. He has a lot to do in making your heart. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. It came with assurance because you know what manner of men we were among you. It isn't that everything that you hear me say you may see me do, but there'll be enough that you see to let you see whether it's sterling silver or just silver plate. You know what I mean? And the Holy Spirit takes care of the part that we can. So I'll leave you with this pace setting. 3 verses particularly to point it out. Philippians 4:9, 1 Thessalonians 1:5, and Matthew 4:19. I'm going to give you 1 Corinthians 11:1. As be ye therefore followers of me, even as I am of the Lord.
Who wrote that? Paul. A couple of you fellows stand up here, please. Suppose you are the Lord. Now, you stand right behind me. Now, you move one foot at a time. Get 2 steps ahead of you. Move 2 steps. Now, step right where he was. Now, just look, sir. Watch. Just walk ordinarily like that. Just slow. Then you step exactly where he stepped. Put your foot exactly where his left foot was. Put it out. Put your left foot out. You. Now put your foot right where his was. That's not where it was. Get it up. Put that out. Okay. Now go ahead, you guys. Go ahead. Now I'm stepping where the first man stepped, although I can't see. Why? Why am I stepping where the first man stepped? Because the man between has stepped where he stepped. I can't see Jesus.
But Paul probably lived as close a Christian life as any man that ever walked the face of the earth. And he could say to the Corinthians, be ye followers of me, even as I am of the Lord. Because Paul knew that he followed the Lord, and he knew that if the people would step where he just stepped, that they would step where Jesus stepped. I can't give that verse very often, gang, for which I'm sorry. I'd like to be it. That's pace setting. But it's a goal, isn't it? How would you like that all the Christians that ever found the Savior and grew had the same strong points and the same weak points as you? If you knew they were going to have, wouldn't you just work hard on those weak ones? Well, that's the way it works. Heredity. Lala and I saw hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sheep. And Lala said to me, Doss, why is every once in a while there a black sheep? I said, there's something in the strain that comes out every once in a while. Because that's the way it is. And it's the same with the physical life of human beings. You know why brothers and sisters don't marry? Because weaknesses multiply. If there's a weak strain mentally in both sides, it can produce an idiot much more quickly than if there's just a weak strain mentally in one. That's why one of the main reasons for avoiding it, why it's not popular, although men have done it. That's how the race started. How in the world do you think Cain got a wife? Married his sister. Because it says in that chapter that they had sons and daughters. All right. Now, I'm not going into this last one. This is world vision. And we teach it. And I won't have time for it. But we teach it on the basis of Acts 1:8. In fact, on the basis of the whole Bible. In fact, on the basis of the last words of the Lord Jesus, the commission, the great commission, to get the gospel to every creature. And I'm not talking to you talented people, I'm just talking to the ordinary people here. Frankly, I feel that the ordinary people are going to get this done better than the talented. As I read the Bible, I find that the Lord says he's not chosen many of the great and mighty and the noble. Well, you see your calling, brethren, how that not many mighty, not many wise, not many noble. I heard a countess of Russia give her testimony, a mighty woman of God, and she says, I'm glad the Lord said not any. He just says not many. So if you are, you're in, and if you can be, and if you're not, you got a great chance. I don't want to talk about that, although, gang, if you've been here all week and haven't caught the idea that we do have a world vision, we sent two fellows to Africa today. Where? To go behind barbed wire. To do what? To get killers, to study the Bible. You say you're crazy. Oh, no, we're not. We have 10,600 red communist prisoners behind barbed wire in Korea. Complete our first memory, our first Bible. We sent more girls abroad in the last 12 months than we have fellows. Not that we can always do that. We're in many countries. Our goal is every major country of the world. Not to go start a new mission, but to go and give hands and feet and serve the present groups who are asking, like Billy asked, for help. Like Orient Crusades and the Muslims asked for help to help. Well, what is this one? And this is the one the Lord gave me that night. Because we were emphasizing this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And as when I got to here, and the next thing I thought about is I was studying those stars. I was there 2 or 3 hours. I said, well, world vision's got to go out there because that's as far as you can get. Because we can't get out to Mars. So let this old boy sitting out here, I said, well, is there something else, Lord, you want us to emphasize in the night? Not that there's seven's a perfect number and there's just seven and no more. There are many other things. We're just still learning. And I said, Lord, what is something big that's on your heart? And a verse of scripture went through my mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. And as I say, I couldn't read my Bible, and here's where one of the many places that having the word here means, because every verse that's here is just as good as here and better, because to get it out of here I have to have light, and now my glasses. I have to have light in my eyes open. But if that verse is there and here too, I can have it any one of 24 hours a day, whether I'm in a communist prison or not. Or walking down a dark lane, or on the top of a hotel in Paris. And this verse went through my mind. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. And one of the things that we don't get to say too often, but we do urge you to do, when you learn the verse name, maybe you learn the verse so that you not have to shoot a whole bunch of arrows on the bow, and you shoot them one at a time, but at least know what's around the verse. Know its context. It'll keep you from getting off into an ism. And I went on quoting the verse, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, became a servant. And I thought, well, that is an emphasis with us. And then the Lord just brought to my mind the two verses before that verse. Philippians 2:5 is, let this mind be in you which was in Christ. Now how would you like to have the mind of Christ, gang? Bob, if I were offered everything under God's green heaven and every other talent in the world, that the Lord would give me the actual heart and mind of the Lord, I take it. I know He wouldn't. He's given me the opportunity of learning of it. Learn of me, I am meek and lowly in heart. When you learn of me, you'll be meek and lowly in heart. When you learn of me, you'll find rest into your souls. But the two verses before, how many of you know what the two verses before Philippians 2:5 is? Let's see your hand. Now this one you gotta get. Put it down in big letters for memory. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. And there's the great big missing link, gang. And the Lord so burdened me with that night. I'm thankful that it had already begun in the NAF ministry, but it wasn't strong enough. I was already on several boards. But this is the verse. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind. Now, if this were not possible, the Lord wouldn't have said to do it, would he? And when he said to do it, he pointed out that we'd have to have the Lord's own mind in this thing and let his mind govern it. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Who is sufficient for this? Who do you know that truly believes that other people, others are better than them? Oh, you got a lot of people that will tell you how little they know. But down deep in their heart, they'll start running that person down because that person isn't as good. This is the sure cure for criticism. Let each esteem other better than themselves. And then the next verse says, look not every man on his own thing, but every man on the what? Things of others. The works. The things others are doing. Now, the tendency today is we've got all kinds of churches, all kinds of denominations. The tendency is for me to feel that my denomination is superior and all others are inferior. Now, the reason that affects you badly is because the Methodists are better than all of these others because I am a Methodist. You never hear anybody say that the other denomination is better because it narrows down. It's the same thing that every nationality feels it's better. Every single nationality feels that it's better. It's human nature. It's part of our Adamic nature. In God's sight, they're all the same. And equal. And a yellow man isn't any better than a black man. Or a white man. Or a white man better than any other man. And you just try to make yourself believe that. And yet the scriptures teach, look not every man on his own things, but on the things of others. And emerged in my mind and heart that night the thought, if the navigators will not just work for the navigator, not try to build the navigators, but if we will work for the church, not a church, but the church, all churches, maybe they don't agree on certain little points, but any church where Jesus Christ is Lord, if we will work for other Christian organizations, Young Life, Campus Crusade. If the minute we hear of a new Christian work, we won't tighten up and try to find out what's wrong with it, but if we will try to find out what's right about it and encourage them and give them a gift. And it's been an emphasis. I jotted down on the back here what it's costing me to have this emphasis game. This costs me. I happen to be a member of the board of directors of the Wycliffe Bible Translators and of the Summer School of Linguistics and the Missionary Communication Service. That's still a different group. And then the ISI, the International Students. Their headquarters is in Philadelphia. It's meant a trip to Philadelphia. Youth for Christ International. The Graham Team. That has meant two trips across the United States for me at our own expense or my own expense in the last 5 weeks. Not on navigator business. That means right now that we don't have Sandy to help us here in the conferences and Charlie Riggs. You know what it's costing us? It's costing Bob his work in L.A. because Bob teaches this. And when I said, Bob, we've loaned Billy Graham Sandy, will you come and help us because we can't get through the summer without him. Will you come take his place? How many trips have you taken from L.A. here just to be with us for the various conferences and to get ready? Round trips.
This will be my fifth.
Bob, do you like air travel over the Rockies?
Not
one. Amen. Buddy, you're so... I just don't ever care if I ever get another airplane. I just got my 300,000-mile card from United Airlines. Equivalent to 12 times around the world. It's handy. The other day I couldn't get on a plane. There were 14 people ahead of me. I got as far as Dallas, and I was to speak that night, and it was already 4 o'clock, and I just said, look, I might as well go home if I don't get on that plane. Saw the guy go over and say something. This guy phoned down to the guy where all the people were lined up, and he says, go down there and get in line. And then my place came up, he said, oh yeah, Trump. And he says, and he put number one on my, and I was the first guy on the plane. The seats had been sold out for 2 weeks. The only thing they do that for is not because I'm any more entitled to it maybe than anybody else, except for the fact an awful lot of your plane travel is just vacation. And they figure a man that's traveling 300,000 miles is on business, and they like to get business. I mean, if they want to do it, I'm not going to. I didn't pay for this. It was a gift. I paid for the 300,000 miles of it. One trip alone cost $3,000. I didn't have the money when I ordered the ticket. And the day came before they were ready to cancel it. And I had not $1. And I needed $3,100. And I had waited on the Lord. It was a Saturday, and Billy called me into his room. He said, Doss, you're going around the world, aren't you, pretty soon? I said, yes. When? I said, well, I'm supposed to leave Tuesday. Got your ticket? Oh, I felt good. He was asking me. Nope. Well, why? Well, I'll need a little cash. Did you have the money? He says, you know what I think I'll do? I think tonight after we take the regular offering, I'll call you up there and just give you a minute on the platform. This was in D.C. And let's give a word of testimony, and then we'll take a retiring offering. We haven't done it yet, this campaign. We've been there 3 weeks. Well, you know what a retiring offering means? You put your money in the collection, and then when you dismiss, you say, any of you people that want to drop something in the basket, you do. Boy, they sometimes are very meager. Well, Billy had me up there, and he said a nice word, and then he said, now, any of you that want to help Mr. Trotman, you come up front and shake his hand and leave something in it. Well, my picture wasn't in the Graham songbook. All the other team were. And all the little Bobby Soxers had gotten their little hymn books autographed by all the team. So when I went down, I had about 50 of these Bobby Soxers get me off in the corner. And you know, you got to be for 40 minutes. And nobody put any money in my hand. And pretty soon a big old bully guy come up. Do you want me to rescue you? I said, what do you mean? He says, I'll get you out of here. I says, yeah. He grabbed my arm and he pulled me and he ran me over. And you know what he said? Look. And there was a suitcase open like this. That deep with money. 40 minutes and people were still coming up. They gave me a policeman and they sent me to the hotel. 2,700 dollars. Pennies, nickels, dimes. There were 1,200 $1 bills. I thought, now isn't that strange that the Lord would send 2,700 and not the 3,100? I couldn't buy my ticket till Monday, and Sunday I was in the meeting and different people had come up and says, you know what? There were so many people trying to get up front, I just got tired of waiting and I just thought, I'll give it to you today. And they'd slip me a bill or a check, and when I got home, I'll give you 75 guesses how much was in my hand. How much? $400. $3,100. Well, how'd I get off on that? Oh yeah, that air travel. We don't like to travel on airplanes, do we, Bob? And what made me bring that up? Yeah, lots of travel. Many times at our own expense. Gang, why? Because I want, and I'm missing it a big, big way. I'm not telling you I'm making the grade. I'm just working on it. To let this mind be in you which is in Christ. Now, what does the Bible teach? Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
Wow, that's big giving, isn't it?
And so we put our time in these other works, and the Lord looks down and says, buddy, you cannot give me. Okay? Don't ever get in the nav work. If you're going to let the sun rise and the sun set on the nav, if it's in your heart and mind to serve the Lord's people, whatever by whatever stripe they may be called, if they belong to Him and love Him, there's a good chance of being open. Because we believe this is what the Lord wants. And frankly, anything up there that He doesn't want, if I can find out that He doesn't, I want to de-emphasize it or kick it out. And my heart is open. And kids, well, we only share this with you because we want to encourage you to have these things in your life. You don't have to belong to an ass. Carol told me today, she said, you know, Doss, in our work, in my particular city, she says, not one of the girls that's in it have in their hearts to work with the NAVs. They're all going out with mission boards and they're working at different churches. And she says, I sort of feel that I haven't done all that is expected of me. I just got up and walked over and shook her hand. I said, look, I'm thrilled to hear this testimony. I'm glad we've got a NAV headquarters where every single one is wanting to do some other work. Isn't that thrilling, Bob? You think the Lord's going to let us down when we need to try to fulfill some of these calls for other countries? He can't. Not if we're obeying His word. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. I haven't been preaching at you. I've just been talking with you. As I say, I want you to follow what I pray now. Lord, anything has been said which is from you, which you want to impart to these hearts, do cause it to remain and become a part. We can't very well say the things you've learned and received and heard and seen because we don't have that opportunity. But we do look to the Holy Spirit to put His seal on what is from you. And Lord, if tonight I have done like I do so many times, get off the beaten path or say something that is not down the line or according to your will, Lord, let it be as water poured on the ground. It cannot be gathered. Send this group of young people home with, and may it not be said they have been to Glen Eyrie or one of the Navigators, but in some way let it be said, be taken knowledge of that they have been with Christ. And we ask it in His dear name. Amen.